call this meeting to order of the Senate Special Committee on Energy. Let the record reflect, it's 3:34 p.m. on March 10, 2015. We're in the Belts Room 105 in the Tom Stewart Building. Let the record show, we also have a quorum to do business. With me, Co-Chair Bishop, Senator Stedman, Senator Egan, and myself, Co-Chairman Machicki. I'd like to also recognize our committee staff, Lynn Smith to my right, Chris Dickrell from Senate Records, and Cody Grusendorf from the LIO. Thank you. Please turn off your cell phones. The purpose of our meeting today is to have our first hearing on Senate Bill 50, the Governor's Bill on ADA, Bills, Programs, Loans, LNG Project. It's not my intent to pass this bill out of committee today. We'll be having the initial presentation on the bill. Gene Terrio, ADA Director, is here, Energy Policy and Outreach, and Bob Shefchek. Fred Parity, Acting Commissioner, Department of Commerce, Community and Economic Development. And online we have Ted Leonard, Executive Director of ADA. Mr. Terrio, please join us, introduce yourself for the record, and feel free to present the bill.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Fred Parity. I'm the Acting Commissioner of the Department of Commerce. I wanted to just set the stage for the bill before Mr. Terrio walks through the bill section by section. Governor Walker issued Administrative Order 272 in late January of this year, directing the Commissioner of the Department of Commerce to collaborate and facilitate at the highest levels of the administration in pursuit of two topics. One is consumer energy across the state of Alaska, but the other was to keep the focus on an interior energy development project to lower the cost of energy for consumers and improve air quality for interior residents in Fairbanks. That administrative order has led us before you today with House Bill 105, which seeks to essentially switch the evaluation of the gas supply for the interior energy project from the north to the south. That's obviously a question that involves more detail than I just gave it, but with that, I'll turn it to Mr. Terrio.
Thank you. And Mr. Chairman, I'd like to just quickly walk through the bill. There is a sectional analysis, but I'll just walk through then highlight the provisions. Section 1 of the bill is a portion that we're suggesting that ADA limits be adjusted to compensate for the erosion of purchasing power due to inflation. You can see there on page 1, line 11, the suggestion is to increase a limit from $6 million to $10 million for those projects that ADA participates in that require the consent of the local government for siting the project. You can see on line 13 there the consent of the local of the project location. When ADA is proposing to do a project, it was over $6 million they had to go and interact with the local government. The size of projects that they can do has been decreased just due to the loss of purchasing power, and so the suggestion is to just adjust that. It's my understanding that that language was initially put in the statutes in 1990 and has not been adjusted since. Section 2 of the bill appears on page number 2. Is a further adjustment in authorization for ADA to issue financing for development projects, bonding to do that financing. Again, the current limitation of $10 million, which is on page 2, line 16, is being suggested to be upgraded to $25 million. That is a number that has been in statute since 1990, again with no adjustment. Section 3, which is on line 24, page 2, is further adjustments. It proposes two separate adjustments on line 28, an adjustment up from $20 million to $25. That limitation has been on the books since 2005. And the adjustment that's suggested for line 30 is a limitation that was placed in the SETS statute when the SETS fund was set up a couple of years ago. ADA would like those $2 amounts to be the same, and so that's part of the suggestion of making that suggested change. Page 3 of the bill is all existing statutory language with no changes. brings us to Section 4 on page 4, which is the proposed change to the Interior Energy Project financing. You can see on page 4, line 23, when the original financing package passed, it was limited to using those financing tools for sourcing the natural gas, developing a source of gas via an LNG project, but the source of the gas was to be on the North Slope. Due to the project advancing and the price of that infrastructure coming in higher than expected, Governor Walker and the Ada Board of Directors is interested in exploring whether a source of natural gas can be identified in Cook Inlet. But to do that and to be able to utilize the lending portion of the financing package, we do need this language removed. And so you can see that triggers the change there on lines 23. And then also at this point, there's a suggestion that Interior Alaska be deleted on lines 25. There was some concern amongst members of the Interior delegation on the House side with that proposed change, and so they did suggest some modifications to this language that would remove the North Slope but make sure that the focus of Interior Alaska as the anchor demand to justify the infrastructure would be retained. That language is available for you to consider as you consider changes to the bill. Section 5 is the proposed repeal of a portion of a previous bond authorization. A portion of the authorization was used to build the FedEx facilities at the Anchorage Airport. The remainder of the money was never utilized. And so in order to help clean up Ada's books, which our bond council have advised, the suggestion is to remove that old surplus bond authorization. Once bond authorizations get to a certain age, the Ada Board of Directors is not likely to use it. A bond council would want it to be refreshed anyway. And so what they have suggested is a number of things that are on the books as possible projects. These projects that never materialized for whatever reason, that language be cleaned up. Because when they do do an evaluation of Ada's ability to go to the bond market, they have to take those things into consideration because they still are active authorizations. So the suggestion is to remove the surplus one there in Section 5. And then in Section 6, there are a number of old authorizations that were never utilized at all. And the suggestion is to remove them completely. If you look at Section 6, each one of the subsections that are listed there, you can tell the last year that the authorizations were modified or when they were first passed by the legislature appears in that string there. And you can see there's 1993, 98. There's a smattering of them, but they're all of an age that the Ada Board of Directors would not utilize them. And then Section 7 is immediate effective date.
Okay. Questions? Senator
Stedman. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I think it's nice to see the repeated language on the authorization. I think that's something that's sprinkled through several areas of our statutes that we need to rein in, this loose bond authority. So does this take care of all of the bond authority that's older than 2004 or that you can recall? Is there anything else? Because don't we have somewhere on the books a substantial amount of bond authority to build a gas line that's old?
That, Mr. Chairman, that would be a good question for Mr. Leonard to field. I think he's probably got the best information on that.
Through the chair, just Senator Stedman. ADA does not have any bond authorizations that deal with the gas line. These do take care of any bond authorizations that I believe that ADA has that are older than even about 2008, 2009. So these are going back to all the unused authorizations we have. Currently, as we move forward with any new bond authorizations, we are automatically looking at putting sunsets on those on the normal of a 5 years so that in the future as we go through with bond authorizations, we won't have them become stale and stay on the books, as you're stating, forever in
Senator.
As a follow-up, I think, as Mr. Leonard started talking, I recall, I think it's a railroad.
It's a railroad.
That has a pile of it. And maybe if we have time with staff time, Mr. Chairman, we could look through some of that stuff and do a lot of cleanup, because I think this is a good idea. And also Mr. Leonard's comment about having a five-year window put on them is good business.
Thank you, Senator. Other questions? Senator Bishop?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I concur with Senator Stedman because, you know, I was looking back and I'm going, wow, 1994, we're still carrying this on our bond sheets. And, yeah, I agree. It's good business to clean it up and get it off of there. We might want to have a good project we might want to build.
Other questions? I have a couple of questions for you. You're in Section 1. It's the increase of the $6 million to $10 million is roughly 64%. What are you basing your inflation numbers on for right-sizing that increase?
I think Mr. Leonard or Mark Davis, who is with him, I think is appropriate to answer that.
Thank you, Mr.
To the chair, we use the U.S. CPI, which is approximately from 1990 to 2015, about 1.79. So that would put it into approximately, adjusting for purchasing power, to approximately $10.7 million. So we rounded it to the $10 million number.
Okay.
If I could quickly say, Chair, one other item that isn't mentioned as Mr. Terrio went through this, even though we're changing that limit, under our regular 4488172, our development finance program, even though we don't have to go back and get an approval for anything under $10 million now, we still have the obligation that we have to confer with any governmental bodies involved for any project that we have contracts on in those areas. So even though we don't have to get a full approval for anything under $10 million, we still have to confer and seek advice from the governmental bodies on any development project that we're working on in an area.
Mr. Leonard, by governmental bodies, do you mean the legislature?
Not under that statute, Senator. That is under the definition under 4488-172. It is the local governing bodies in the area where a project is going to reside in.
Okay. Thank you. Well, along that line, Mr. Terrio, you talked about that adjustment for inflation. And if you use the same number, which was roughly a 64% increase from $6 million to $10 million, if you use 250% in Section 2 on line 15 from the $10 million to the $25 million, but you said it was for the same inflationary adjustment. Can you explain that?
It's a combination of inflation and also purchasing power. The components of many of the projects that ADA is financing, the cost of the components has just gone up to it, so it's a combination of the two.
I understand, but you use the same logic on line 11 in Section 1 as you did on line 15 and 16 of Section 2.
I think it was what we thought were reasonable numbers, adjustments, and round numbers.
Okay, so 64% versus 250%. Was there another reason you needed to get to $25 million? It's fine if there is, but it'd be nice to understand that.
I think Mr. Leonard would have an answer.
Thank you. Mr. Leonard?
Thank you, Chair. Again, you are correct. The actual approximate amount would be around $18 million if we were just doing the adjustment from on 4488095G for just purchasing power. And looking at raising that limit, we were also looking at what type of financing we believe a mid-level project would need and the type of time frames on those projects. So when we were looking at that, we did utilize the $25 million, believing that was a number that was reasonable. And then also, we were looking at parity in our tools, and on the ability to use bonding for loan participation, bonding could be up to the amount of the loan participation, which was at $20 million, which we would be raising up to $25 million. So we were trying to line across our tools the same ability to use bonding for loan participation as we would be able to use bonding for mid-level projects. So that is where that difference between adjusting for just purchasing power and the $25 million came from.
Okay, so just to correct the original testimony for the record, could you repeat why we're at 25 instead of 18?
To the chair, yes, that is to bring parity between the tools that we can finance through bonding between our different programs. We would be able to bond for a loan participation up to $25 million. So we're trying to bring parity in our development finance program to say it have the same bonding capability for that tool in our toolbox under the development finance program.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Leonard. Other questions? No, I do have a statement about the original reason for this legislation, and as you know, I attempted to make an amendment last year to remove the on the North Slope language under my own suspicions that it was inadequately funded. But I do have to say that I agree with the House in this case, the other body in this case, that this specifically, I'm very focused on bringing lower cost reliable energy to the interior, so I am concerned with in the state language, and that's something we can talk about with the committee later on. Could you also talk about specifically, I know in your supportive the letter from the governor that I have in my packet, it lists out each of the bond authorizations, the 8 bond authorizations that the bill would repeal. Are all of these projects complete, and do we know that we would have no additional use for any of those authorizations?
Ted, do you want to go ahead? Yes, it's my understanding, Mr. Chairman, I think there is a document here, the sectional analysis that details all of those amounts, what the project was, and the authorization.
To the chair, if I could answer that also, is that I can state for the record that ADA has no projects that we're looking at currently that would be utilizing these bond authorizations, and that we do feel that if we were going to do a project under any of these bond authorizations, we would feel obligated to come back to the legislature to refresh these based on the time limit.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Leonard. Well, we probably are going to put some staff time into looking at other, we may look at using this bill to remove other authorizations that may be stale, as the terminology was used in this letter. And I don't know if anyone else has any other questions.
Comment?
Certainly.
Mr. Chairman, just to dovetail and segue in on your earlier comment here a few minutes ago about, I think it was 2 years ago, maybe you had a question about just limiting ourselves to the North Slope. And in this new language in Section 4, I'm just speaking in broad sweeps. I think the addition of systems, making it plural, I think could also have benefit, not only to the IEP project, but maybe some other communities somewhere in state yet to be identified. And most recently, I know, Mr. Shevchuk, I really appreciate you reaching out to Glenn Allen and in a timely fashion in meeting with those folks, because that's an example where maybe systems might come into play and more gas, right? So anyway, thank you.
Senator Stebbins?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, just for the record, I think it's rare for senators who have been around for a while to ever listen to a freshman senator, even when he's right.
Please capture that for the record. So my final statement, and I appreciate you presenting the bill today, is that I think everyone here is focused. I'm particularly focused on a reliable source of energy for the interior. I think it's about time. As you know, I'm focused on all the options. I'm concerned about a mirage, and very focused on some real solutions. And we'll be talking to you all as we move this bill through about including some language that may help with more economically feasible long-term options as well, and at least leaving that possibility open in this bill. So we'll talk about how that language could look, but I appreciate the effort. I think it's imperative that we move beyond the emergency management stage of energy to the interior, and I think we're all on the same page there. So if there are no other statements, I think we can adjourn. It is, what time is it?
3:57.
Yeah, we will contact the sponsors and the three of you, as well as Mr. Leonard, when we're going to get back together on this bill. So with that, the meeting is adjourned at 3:57 p.m.